Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And I'm sorry to disappoint my audience today. We were supposed to have Robert Newman from Vital Connection, who was a Oriental Chinese herbalist, and unfortunately had an emergency, so I guess we'll be having a great time, you and I. So I wanted to talk about, since that didn't work out, how we go on search sometimes in our path. I think it's been very interesting, and I've had so many clients lately, and when I'm doing workshops, ask, you know, what do I do? Okay, I've taken this workshop today, but where do I go from here? And I can remember that when I first kind of reawoken to this, that thank goodness someone handed me an Edgar Cayce book. For those of you who may not know who Edgar Cayce is, he was called the Sleeping Prophet, and it's probably the most famous and most well-read book is There Is a River by Jesse Stern. And he was a clairvoyant that went to sleep, and I've spoken on the shows before, and then did diagnosis and other things, because he would talk about past lives, he would talk about Akashic records. So that was a book that kind of helped me go on my spiritual path. But, you know, I realize as I do this work more and more, people are always saying, you know, I get blocked, I get stuck, I get derailed, and or they're processing a lot of times. You know, we have to process things that we were brought up with. For instance, we're often very influenced by our parents. You know, what generation they came from, how they were raised, what religion we are. All these things go to affect or influence our belief system. You know, if you said to a kid today, you know, what do you think of Dick, Jane, and Puff, and Spot, they would look at you like you're crazy, because that's what, they don't use those anymore. But when I was in school, that was like standard issue. You read about See Spot Run. You read those books. And finally, you know, there was an evolution where they no longer use those books. They've updated in our school system. So it's the same with us when we begin our spiritual path. We begin with remedial readers. We begin with some basics, some things, you know, beginning books, which are very, very, very valuable in our beginning and our awakening. And many, many people, I'm sure, started out with Edgar Cayce's works and then Redworth, Montgomery's, things of that period. Because when I first started in my 20s, you would go into a bookstore. If you were lucky, there were two shelves of metaphysical books. And now you go in, we have our own section. You know, it's either New Age or metaphysical. And it's so wonderful because there is so much out there. We're blessed that, you know, Hay House has some wonderful authors who are very prolific writers. And so we have more opportunities to be exposed to things. Sylvia Brown, Doreen Virtue, John Holland, so many really wonderful authors. I think it's a little harder for men because there is just now really beginning to be some books written by males. For a long time, The Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman was pretty much about what you got. Now there's some wonderful ones. There's one called The Four Agreements, and I apologize, I cannot remember the author's name. But there are getting to be more and more books on and about spirituality and the path, and then it's picking, which way am I learning? How am I evolving? And what resonates with me? Because everything is vibration, so we have to find out which author or which area vibrates for us. And so some people will start with being interested in healing. Other people will start, you know, wanting to be clairvoyant or angel readers or whatever is the way that spirit guides you to start opening your metaphysical or spiritual path. But I think it's important to know that there are also now some wonderful places that we can go and institutions that have now been established for a long time, and I think sometimes we don't know about them. I think the Internet, of course, now, thank God for the Internet, is like the amazing place to start to go to really surf the Internet and find out about spirituality and subjects now, because, you know, it's a touch of the finger where it used to be days at the library. So I really want to encourage people to kind of look into the ARE, which is the Association of Research and Enlightenment, and I'm hoping to interview someone from there soon on one of the shows, because I really do think it's a lovely place to look into, because they sponsor a lot of workshops and classes. They're in Virginia Beach. They have a library, oh my God, that is so marvelous. You want to spend days and days. I actually spent 3 days there. It was not enough. They have actually bought, I have to tell you, it's so amazing. They bought this man's whole life works. He passed when he was in his 70s on Atlantis alone. And went to England, bought it. It's in a private room there. It's amazing. And it's mapped. It's everything, almost everything you'd ever want to know about Atlantis. So they have works like that. They have bought whole bodies of people's lifetimes work and collection of books. And so it's one of the most phenomenal libraries that you'll ever go to and get the opportunity to go to. So they have their own ongoing classes and things. You can look on the web at www.edgarcayce.org. And they have things. They also started a few years ago something called the Atlantic University. I don't know as much as I would like to know about this, but I do know that it's actually an accredited college. So if you already have an existing degree, you can go to Atlantic University or take things online and get extra degrees or extra things that have credits. That are mainly based on metaphysical subjects. It's very, very fascinating. So you can go to www.atlanticuniversity.edu for education. Or I'm sure you can find out it through the ARE. The other thing that the ARE started many, many years ago, because Edgar Cayce was so into natural health and actually probably the forerunner of body-mind medicine, they also have what they call the Riley School of Massage Therapy, and so they also have that available to pursue. So that is in Virginia. It is on the other coast away from Washington State. So unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of wonderful things on that coast. I think we have to look more towards California to start seeing things that are on our coast. There is an institution, and I have heard about it long, long ago in Berkeley, California. It's supposed to be one of the few institutions that has a parapsychology degree, and it is my understanding that it is connected with Berkeley University. So if anybody out there listening has more information on that, I'd be terribly interested so that I can share with the rest of my readers. So certainly, you know, go to the ARE too, because you can be put on their mailing list. They do have a wonderful bookstore that they sell metaphysical books. So if you happen to be stuck in some place that, you know, a small town or an area that's very contained by the Bible Belt, or perhaps in Utah, I have a very good friend in Utah in a small town, and she says there just isn't any metaphysical bookstore. She says feels stranded. So please know that you can get a hold of things like the ARE bookstore, and they will mail order. And, of course, the Internet now, that Amazon book place has got us all. But please know that there's a lot of resources, and sometimes we just have to dig a little. I think it's very important to search in our own neighborhoods, and sometimes we're very successful and sometimes we're not. Another really great resource is East West Bookstore, and they're in more than one city. They often have really great metaphysical things going on. I know that here in Washington they have even lecturers that come, or people, authors that come, and it can be as little as $10. Some of them are free. Some of them are, you know, up to $200. But there's a wide variety of places to go in search of. So those are wonderful things. There are also things that, as you get more in depth into metaphysics, because there's certainly, you know, workshops that come. There's Body Mind. There used to be Whole Life Expo, but that unfortunately is not available to us. Hay House runs some wonderful, wonderful things. That's another one that I would actually say a lot about is Hay House. You can go to www.hayhouse.com. Louise Hay, most of us know her books because she wrote a book several years ago called You Can Heal Your Life. It's a wonderful book. And she started actually being the grand dame and having really an empire of incredible metaphysical people, authors and speakers now. And so they do I Can Do It Expo in Las Vegas and in Florida. I believe they also do one in California. So then you will have the opportunity to be exposed to really incredible people who have been doing this work and are out there on the stage. I know all of us are so thankful that Shirley MacLaine went out on that limb. I tell you, I always am, because it gave everyone permission to go in search of more. What I really hope my radio show to be is a show where I can help educate you and give you tools, give you places to look and to go in search of. Because I have to tell you, people always say to me, Atira, oh, you know, you were born with it and it's a natural thing for you. And I said, yeah, that's true to some extent, you know, since I've had Dawn since I was 5 years old. There is that part of me that is very natural. I don't think about it. But there's a part of me that questions, just like everybody. And so I did my years of, okay, I have this gift. What is it? Because at the time, I'm telling you, I didn't really think it was much of a gift. There were times in my life I really thought it was more of a burden, because it was frustrating to know things and not know what to do with them. It still is to this day. If you ever talk to my wonderful friend Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, she will tell you that she gets calls at 3 a.m. in the morning and I'll say, okay, I've got this thing going on. I don't know what it is. Or I have this hit. I mean, often we are talking when I say, oh, I have that shaky feeling. There's an earthquake coming, but I've, you know, gone over the map and I can't discern where it is. So we try to take notes of that to see if there's a pattern. And I have talked to many, many other psychics and readers, and they say, you know, they experience the same thing. So as much as, you know, there are times when it's absolutely fun and absolutely, you know, wonderful part to be who I am, there certainly are the times when, you know, you're awake at 2 or 3 in the morning going through your cosmic Rolex in your head, making sure it's not someone, your family, your friend, or someone you have to worry about, that it's an anxiety or a symbol or something that has to do with something in the world much larger than my own little universe. So those are the things that I am like you in, that there are times in my life I like to go in search of. I love to go and see other mediums work. I love to experience other people's forms of the manifestation of metaphysics, of spirituality. So I love to seek my own species, and I love to teach because I love to see someone awaken and get their first hit to get confirmation that what they saw or got or heard is amazing. So all of these aspects of the work are important to me and to you because I am really just like everyone else. You know, I have bad days at the cosmic office that I just want to be human. There's part of this that's an amazing journey, and there's part of this that we're still experiencing human. So I want you to have as many tools in your toolbox to find what is a part of in search of or right for you. So that's why I really hope that I can bring you many, many different people to talk about. I know many people have met me or found me through the book The Messengers, which was written almost 10 years ago by G.W. Hardin and Julie Ingram. And they are going to be on my future shows, I'm very excited to say. And Julie Ingram has just written a new book as well on women in the Bible based on past life and reincarnation, past life regression. And G.W. Hardin is also has written a book called Indigo Rising. So we'll be connecting with more and more authors, people that will help you go in search of and find out things. The Messenger, I think, was so exciting because we had so many number things come in with that, the 444, the 111s. And I hope to you know, talk more about that because it's a phenomena that's still happening, that people will see a lot of repeated numbers. And hopefully Mary Ellen will call in here about her experience with 1111s and things like that, because we do have things, symbols and signs that come to us. But back to talking about, for a minute, ways and places that you can go out in search of. I'm not presenting or promoting any religion or any single organization. I'm just giving you as much resources as I can because there's new things out there I keep finding out about. So one of the things that I found out about actually a year ago was Lily Dale. And Lily Dale is probably the oldest spiritualist camp in the United States. There is Lily Dale in Lily Dale, New York, which is about, I'd say, an hour outside Buffalo, New York. And then there is also Casadega, which is in Casadega, Florida. They are both from the 1800s spiritualist camps. And I loved Lilydale. I went there last October, and it was like stepping back in time. I loved everything about it. I loved the energy. It was mystical. It was magic. The vibration is so amazing. The people were so lovely, absolutely lovely. And so I actually just got their 2006 Lilydale workshop guide. And so I really wanted to encourage you to go online and check that out at, it's called LilydaleAssembly.com, or a phone number is 716-595-8721, because they are actually, they have a season. They open, I believe, in July, and it goes through the end of August. And it is nonstop woo-woo. It is like the mecca of woo-woo. And they have James Van Praagh is going to be there doing workshops. Richard Scholler, who is a gentleman I had on one of my shows. And just amazing, many, many amazing. They have a lovely lady that's coming from England. Her first name is Rose, that I had a chance to talk to. So there's so many gifted people that will be teaching there. So that's a wonderful, wonderful resource to check out. I know Casadega, which is the summer version of Lilydale, also has a season. So and check out, look on the National Spiritualist website, because they also have other camps and things around the United States that have some workshops in there. And the reason I like some of the spiritual things is, even though in some ways, I got to say, they get stuck in the 1800s, but they also have been doing this a long time. They've been teaching metaphysics. It's their way of life, their chosen religion and way of life. It's a philosophy, it's a science, and it's a religion. So they have some really core good teachers that have been around a long time, so they really can give people incredible foundations for beginning to develop. I think sometimes when we catch the wave of New Age, sometimes it's people who have jumped on the bandwagon. Well, that's one reason I really am encouraging you. Do your research. Do your homework before you pay $200 and $500 for a workshop, because sometimes it's somebody who's read a few books, practiced a year, and is doing it. And not necessarily, you know, you get there and you go, uh-oh, it's not giving me what I really wanted. So really, you know, trust the feeling, but do some homework, because sometimes it's better to go to somebody who's been doing it 10 years, you know, or 20 years. It's so amazing when you go to some of the spiritualist camps and things, because they do include spiritual messages and mediumship in their services. And also, they have usually one day a week that they have some kind of open classes and stuff. So you can go there and really observe before you make a commitment. So it's a good place to check out, and the national website is www.nsac.org. You can also check our website, which is angelscribe.com, because we try to keep books and things like that to keep your interest and to give you something to look for and to move forward in and find research. The next source I think that is really good are some books that I have found. There's three major books that I really kind of consider like my Bibles, in that there's a foundation to go for if I run across something that's new to me, something that I, you know, haven't experienced before or I've experienced and it's pretty vague. The first one is the Spirit Book. It's an encyclopedia on clairvoyance, channeling, and spirit communication. And it's by Raymond Buckland. And it's a very thick book. It's I don't know, it's probably a $25 book or $20 to $25 book. It's a fabulous book. I was lucky to be gifted it by a wonderful artist, Mary Elena, and she has been in this metaphysical stuff for many, many years. I mean, she's like amazing. She actually sat with Ruth Montgomery and things, and so it was. She's amazing. She was such a wonderful gift in my life to me, because she had sat with Ruth Montgomery and many, many people for over 8 years. Amazing talent. The next book that I think is really good is the Encyclopedia of Psychic Dictionary, and it's by June, and the last name is B-L-E-T-Z-E-R. And I like that one because it really covers terminology, verbiage sometimes, things like that. And the last one is the Encyclopedia of Metaphysics, of Metaphysical and Phenomena, and it's by Rosemary Ellen Gillie. Now, I understand Rosemary Ellen Gillie has several other books out. I don't know. I have not seen them yet, but I have to tell you, that book I like, too. These are the three main books that I have to say, you know, that I can look up other things about other books and certainly about people who have been in the metaphysic realm for a long time. So as we go on our journey in life and we find things where we can go, and I'm not saying, you know, get stuck in anyone. I think it's very good to be eclectic. I think sometimes we argue with ourselves about being eclectic. And it's too bad because it really, I think that's how we get where we need to be. I think being eclectic is a good thing because it makes us move forward and get bits and pieces of many things and not have tunnel vision. I will admit for a while I was probably a Caseyite because I got stuck at that time on Edgar Casey because I thought, first of all, he was magnificent. You know, he was very, probably the top of his field at that time in the United States. And because it was in print, and then certainly you would at that time also look into Ellen Grant and some of the older ones, Arthur Ford, people like that. But the journey now, as we get into our time period now, has changed a little. So when you go to spiritualist churches and things, they are still teaching absolutely great core stuff. But you will probably find a little discussion over what is mediumship and what is channeling, because some will say that Edgar Casey was not a medium but was a channel. And, you know, I think it's splitting hairs. I think a medium is a channel and a channel is a medium. So I think we have to get over our putting everybody into limited little boxes. And, you know, I think that's one thing that spirituality is about, is coloring outside the lines because we call it art now. So there's so much that we can study and we can do on our own, that we can read the books, we can go to the workshops, but the bottom line is, when it comes down to it, we have to do the work. And that is getting committed to set with spirit, to be with your angels, guides, and masters, to know that you are part of that work. And that is what most people don't want to do. They want instant metaphysics. Just add water, I'll go to the 10-day workshop, I'll go to the weekend, and I will come out and I will be silver brown. Now, I think in a rare occasion, there might be somebody who goes to a workshop, wakes up, and reawakens something in them and becomes, you know, that talent. But the truth is, Sylvia Brown did this since she was 2 or 3 years old. And so we have to know that most of the time, it's not going to go into that kind of thing. It's going to be about knowing that we have to do some of the work, that we have to set and practice and make it part of who we are. And so even though I came in with this, I had to learn a lot about how to work with it, how to understand the vocabulary, the symbolism that comes to me. That's one thing I think people, if you see John Edward on TV, you know, he will talk about the symbolism. It's not always in words. People always think, oh, well, you just hear Dom, you know, like I'm talking to you. Well, sometimes it is that way, and sometimes it comes in sounds and tones, and sometimes I make them write it on a blackboard, and sometimes it comes in symbology. And so each person has their own alphabet, their own symbology that they will learn what it means. That's why you have to practice, because there are some common symbology. If you read any of Denise Lynn's work or Kevin Tatashi's work on dreams, you will find there are some symbols that repeat or mean the same, you know, or similar for everybody. For example, if I showed you a stop sign, you would immediately think stop, in America anyway. Now, other countries you might not, because the sign might be different. But certain things, you know, will trigger symbology for us. If we see a Bible, most of us will think about God. For me, like if I see boxes in front of a person, if they're in front of them or to the side of them, that usually to me means there's a move, a physical move of some kind. If it's in front of them, it usually means to me somebody's trying to make them fit in a box. But there are times when I've seen boxes and I go, I see boxes all over. I'm not sure what that means. Someone will say, well, I'm remodeling, or, oh, I just moved. So you have to kind of practice this and start learning your symbology. John Edwards is very amazing, and I think when he went on TV, it was so wonderful for me because I thought, oh, my God, he gets things so much like me. But he uses a lot of TV because he obviously grew up on TV, and he grew up with this in his home, the metaphysics and mediums and readers in his home. His mother, you know, exposed it to him very young. By the time he was 16, he was doing readings. But he often thinks he will be showed things from TV, or he will be shown people in his family. Often they'll show me my dad if they're trying to get that somebody was in the Air Force, or if they were trying to get that he was a jack of all trades. They'll show me my uncle in overalls if they're trying to tell me that he's a mechanic. So sometimes it's a symbol or a sign of some kind, and we have to interpret it. Is it because my uncle's was a mechanic? Is the person a mechanic? And if you get a known, then you go, is the person's name Tom? Sometimes it's to get to a name. So sometimes it's not an exact science. It is a progressive science for you, because you will start to learn the repeated symbols for you. For some other symbols that come to me are the scale of justice. If I see the scale of justice 90% of the time, it has to do with law. But the other 10% of the time, somebody's trying to balance their life. So all these kinds of signs and symbols, which, by the way, we see and use every day, often in our dream state, often just in our awareness. our eyes alone take in, I don't even know how many billions pieces of data in a day. I mean, millions and billions. So subconsciously, we register all those things. And certainly, with every experience in our life, we experience that data being put into us, or reaffirming that data. So it's very, very important to start journaling or keeping track of repeated symbols in our life, things we experience. It's important to understand that all of this is part of the journey, part of the path, part of getting educated in spirituality and metaphysics. It's important to appreciate that everybody adds to our collection, our personal encyclopedia. And so our parents put in there, our religion put into that encyclopedia, our teachers, the books that were popular when we were a kid, our experience, our brothers, sisters, our choices when we started dating, the people that we marry, the jobs that we have, the experiences we have in life. And so each thing is part of our database now. I guess we're obsolete with the encyclopedia because we really have database now, like the computers. But it's true that we have evolved so much. If you had told my grandmother, who came across in a covered wagon, that someday we would be walking on the moon and that we would, you know, have this box that could tell us things and you could communicate all over the world, she would have been laughing at us like crazy. But it's reality. Jules Verne has become reality. So in metaphysics, we are going beyond, in fact, what is even our database, and creating more. And that's why everything's getting so speeded up. It's an exciting time to be alive, because the experiences are getting more and more and more. So it is half past the hour, so I do want to give out the call-in number. The number is 877-876-5227. So if you have questions about what we've talked about tonight, or questions, metaphysical questions, or you want information or mini readings, I'll be glad to do that. So it's important, though, to really be open to getting your own things, the own information, because I'm glad to read for people, but the truth is I really hope that I'm awakening each person, their ability to commune to their angel, their guide, their master. so that they can have the experiences I have and start to have the experience which expands by the use of it to be of service to other people in the world, because it really is about being a servant. If people are trying to become metaphysical or spiritual or develop their psychic ability for just the money, I got news for you. It is not going to work. It may work for a while, but it truly, I've never seen anyone just do this for gain. It really is about being in service for everybody. Again, the call-in number is 877-876-5227 worldwide. So as we start developing, we have to look at what we want it to look at and learn. First, I think we all start that we're learning for ourselves. We're learning for self-knowledge, understanding how Spirit's working with us, to get, you know, hits about our daily life, to get hits about where our future is going, to understand things. And then as we study and as we move forward, we go into a time period where we start then understanding that it is a bigger picture than that. And it starts early. As you start doing this, it starts affecting your whole life. And I mean that in a wonderful way, because what happens is as your consciousness expands, you start making choices. You make really great cosmic choices. And what happens with that is it opens the door for experiences that are metaphysical, that make you grow and expand. And then you start making very amazing choices. Being conscious of your choices makes it you conscious for every action. There's a reaction.
We have a caller.
Yay.
Yes, I'll put them on. It'll take a few seconds while
awesome.
I roll them in.
Good. So as we're waiting for the caller, I was saying, as you make your conscious choices, that it expands, and you find that for every action, there's a reaction. So you start doing the right action to get the right reaction, and everything starts expanding. So if our caller's there, yes?
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Atira. How are you?
Hi, I'm fabulous. So your name and where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Arizona, and my name is Jackie.
Jackie. Hi,
yes.
Jackie.
Hi.
I'm going to need you just to speak up a little teeny bit. When I do this radio show, for some reason, I seem to affect electronic things.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
What can I do for you today, Jackie?
Well, I was listening to you for the last half hour, and this is my first time listening. And I agree with a lot of the things you said.
Like species, yay.
Yeah. Let's see, I've heard of Lilydale, actually, and I found that on the Internet, and I'm curious to go over there. I've been reading metaphysical-style books for... the first one that really intrigued me was... I can't think of his name. Seed of the Soul... Gary Zukav?
See, this is old. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, really shortly after Shirley MacLaine went out on that limb,
yes,
people got braver and got more public, and it was wonderful. Yeah, so people like Gary Zukav, it became sort of a little bit, for a short period, we had a little mainstream thing going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very fascinating. And I guess what I want, I wouldn't mind the mini reading, but for me, I've been interested in this for so many years, and I just... I feel that I'm very intuitive. I guess I don't trust myself is what it boils down to.
Well, I'm going to address that first, okay? Then I'll give you a little mini.
Okay.
I think a lot of people, really, when they wake up and they want to do this, they don't trust themselves.
Yeah.
They get in that little mindset, is that me or is that, you know, my mind busy, you know, we have that little argue.
Right.
And it's our ego, you know, and sometimes, so when you really want to develop, you have to put your ego in a box, your critic and your ego. So let's put them in the box and let them give you a break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the key here is to practice. When you practice, and particularly journal, what happens is you will, you know, and at first it's like, okay, you know, you sit down to journal and hang out with the angels, guides, and masters, and all of a sudden, you know, you got to do the dish. You know, everything comes in. You got to do the dishes.
Right.
Did you feed the cat? You know, all those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, exactly.
So I tell my students when they first start, write it down. I don't care if it says, I got to do the dishes, feed the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're letting go of the distracting mind.
Yeah.
If you hang out long enough, though, you will start hearing it talk differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you will absolutely know it's different because they will use words that you would never use. And often they will say we. we mm-hmm. feel, we know, we have a sense.
Uh-huh.
And we will start having conversations. You will have words and things come out. And the other little hint is spirit will always tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start getting things and it's like, well, you know, I didn't want to hear that person I'm interested in isn't interested in me.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. you will know that you're starting to get the real thing. And it will start having a pattern. It also tends to come in 3 to 4 words at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of has a little cadence to it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's cadence is a little different because I think that has to do with vibrational level or how you hear.
Right.
And also sometimes it'll be like 3 or 4 words like we feel light about you, or we feel that you're going towards the light.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might show you something symbolically for you. So sometimes it will be a combination of a few words and a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or it could be a few words, like a warning about something,
mm-hmm.
a partial warning and then a stop sign, or a partial warning in red.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at the whole kind of thing and just keep writing.
Right.
And the more you write, and the more you sit down and say, dear spirit, for this 30 minutes, I'm going to trust. Now, 20 minutes from there, after that, you may not. But you
right.
know what I mean? If you will make a date with spirit, angels, guides, or masters, and you dedicate that, and you're consistent, you will really get out of that distrust. And
mm-hmm.
what happens is then they get permission to be in your energy field more.
Mm.
And so then when you're driving down the freeway and you get that little, don't change lanes,
yeah.
you're going to listen to it more.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, Jackie. And I think you're very intuitive anyway. I agree with you. You
mm-hmm.
are. So I'm gonna ask you to say yes, no, and you don't know for a minute.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Because the first thing they say about you is that there's reorganization going on in your life. Do you
yes.
understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a really good reorganization, but you're going a little kicking and screaming about it. Okay.
It's taking too long, that's why.
I know, but, you know, it's divine timing, not yours.
Yeah.
And especially when we're metaphysic, when it's about timing and we want it, we wail louder than anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, it's really on track. Let it evolve, because if you try and force it, you're going to miss some things you wished you wouldn't, huh?
Mm.
So you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They also talk about, I'm not sure about this, but I see a book opening. So I really feel actually this has to do with personal stuff, like the opening or opportunity to be involved with a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean somebody writing a book. I don't mean reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. They also, in a way, are playing a little bit of, I want to say, cosmic chess with you, meaning that I feel like I'm doing too many things. I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to cover too many spaces in my life right now. Like, you know, work's a little too busy. You know, private life's a little too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's too much right now.
Yeah.
So you can't win chess when you're playing all over the board. You have to really concentrate.
Right.
So you have to pull in a little bit and be a little more focused and know that, you know, you've got to let go and let God on a few things here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They also talk about that 2005 was a closure year for you.
Really good.
Yeah. That you had a 2.5-year roller coaster ride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're off the roller coaster, standing on things, looking and saying, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And tying up loose ends. So I really look at 2006 as a wonderful year. It's a careful what you wish for. You can
mm-hmm.
get it. So you
mm-hmm.
have to be a little more focused because, you know, you really don't, you put it out and you pull it back. Do you know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't be so wishy-washy. Set the goal and go towards it because they really want you to have some things. You've just been falling over them a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
so I hope that answers your question. But it's
yeah.
a good year for you. I don't see any cosmic 2x4s. Good for you.
Good.
I like ducking for those things.
Yeah.
So bless your heart and thank you for calling
you too.
In.
Thank you, too.
Hope you'll listen again.
All right. I sure will.
All right, darling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Dan.
I love that she brought up the critic voice because, you know, we do. I mean, when I was younger especially, because I really wanted not to hear the volume so much, I would get in arguments with it, with spirit, you know. And then I learned after a while not to argue because Dom's usually right. And Mary Ellen can rat on me on that one a lot because I don't second guess Dom very much because usually I'm the one that's wrong. I've learned the human part is to error. It's a wonderful time to be into spirituality and metaphysics because there are so many opportunities. So many people are opening to this that it really is becoming mainstream. I'm very excited. I actually, about 8 years ago, had talked to somebody, had worked with someone in corporate America. He was a vice president of a company. And I think, actually, honest to God, he probably had a reading because he was lost a bet or wasn't even, I don't know how he wound up getting a reading from me. And at the time, he got very fascinated by it because many of the things that I had read for him came to pass, and he was a very right brain, three-piece suitor in corporate America, and this was, you know, this would never be mainstream, and he was a voracious reader after that into metaphysics and things. And we had a discussion one day that I hope someday, you know, I would see corporate clairvoyant on an office door, because I really believe that we have a big space in corporate America, just like we do now in police departments. You know, the psychic detective you see on sci-fi all the time and things like that. We are getting more mainstream. It is getting okay to use readers and psychics and mediums in mainstream things. Well, another part of America that really could use us is in picking juries. I mean, it would be interesting to use that, because I think we would know who's going to tell the truth, who's going to be open about a case. So I think, and I didn't even know, but they actually have people who do help pick jurors for cases and stuff. So it's amazing fields out there from people who are doing metaphysics. This whole field now that's opening up, and people are doing life coaching, which I do think is more towards corporate America. But really, truly, people in corporate America use the sixth sense all the time. They hire and fire by it. People do stock trades by their gut feelings or just knowing. I really believe that Microsoft mogul had to use metaphysics and spirituality in that sense and that knowing for many of the things he did. The founding fathers of the United States, many of them were open to spirituality and understanding the spiritual symbols, even the symbols on our American dollar and that. The whole Da Vinci Code, all of that that's in the news now, I mean, that's really making us look at about spirituality and mystical orders and secret societies and many, many things that we, you know, have been around since time began, you know. The temples in Solomon and you know, Egypt and all of these things were all built and founded on spiritual. Oh, great. Hey, Mary Ellen. Well, here is Mary Ellen, Angel Scribe, who books my readings, who is the author of Expect Miracles and A Christmas Filled with Miracles, and usually my partner in crime, so I'm excited to hear what she's going to talk about.
Well, first I want to say that everybody's jealous that you're my best friend.
Well, I feel the same way. Everybody's jealous you're my best friend. So.
And she's,
you know,
so
Mary
right.
Ellen, I'd love, before you ask your question, talk about your
I didn't
want
to ask
the
question.
Experience.
I wanted to tell them how great you were.
Oh,
are. So you be quiet. What happens is a tarot called me in the middle of the night, and I wake up like at 1:30, and I go, gosh, I'm awake. I wonder why. And then I'm like, I'm so thirsty, I'm practically cross-eyed. And so what ended up happening, the phone would ring, it'd be a Tira, and she goes, it's okay to call all apologetically. Dawn said I could call. And I go, yeah, I'm awake. And she says, Dawn says you need to get a drink of water, you're dehydrated.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's strange synchronicities. It is. It's fun. And shopping with Dom's fun, too, don't you think?
I remember the time he told you to walk down the automotive part of Target, and it was Christmas time, and you thought he was nuts. And you're like, okay. And he says, no, walk down here. Now look over there. And there were these beautiful angel mugs we give to all our special friends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And they were in the automotive car part because they're the kind that go in the car. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're thinking, I'm not going to find any angel gifts here for my friends.
Well, I'm thinking, I don't have anybody that I have to buy auto stuff for. You know? Like,
but I love it that you listen. You know, you listen on all the little things and how to the big things. One of the most impressive times I was with you, and remember we were going to see Deepak Chopra, and we just met each other, and you were driving in your van, and we had another friend with us, and I'm in the back of the van, and you're going, Dom says to turn right here, and I think, oh my gosh, how nutty is this lady? And then you're like, Dom says to turn left here, and then Dom says to turn over this ramp, and we were underneath the University of Washington. And it's, you know, it's just like a maze of underground parking. And you said, well, Dom says we can park anywhere. And I'm thinking, well, that was an interesting experience. We get out of the car, and right there was the hall behind us, the door to enter. So, drive by Dom.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I wish I'd listen a little more when I'm in the car because I have, you know, I have no sense of direction. I have to be honest with you. I don't ever let me give you directions. I'm terrible.
Yeah, well,
sometimes Dom will help and sometimes he won't, but directions for me, I am not good. Now, in woods, in nature, I can find my way, and I don't know if it's just away from all the electromagnetic fields in the city, but in the city, I'm not so good.
You know, that's the other thing, too. All of a sudden, you get a screamy headache when we're out looking for an area, and we're round a corner, and there's a huge substation. It's like you literally are sensitive to the electromagnetic energies.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I think actually a lot of readers are, I really have to say that. I mean, a lot of people who are psychic are affected by those electromagnetic fields. I really actually have to ask Dom to put energy around me so that I actually can almost get a migraine in a very short time if I'm around
the
substation.
That's the only way we can go to Walmart here in Cottage Grove is he has to protect you because there's a substation right at the end of their parking lot.
Right, it's true. And I went actually over to Lori's for a wonderful barbecue dinner, and she's by major power lines, and I thought, man, what is that? You know, after about 20 minutes, I'm going, but I had forgotten, and I forgot to say, oh, Dom, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's a permission thing. You have to ask, and then, of course, he changed the energy, and I was fine, but it's true, and it's true that we really affect a lot of electrical things. I just find that so interesting. Because
that's how what spirit does once they pass.
Well, because I think everybody forgets that everything's vibration. You know, everything in the universe is vibration. If you talk to a scientist and they talk about atoms, you know, they talk about the proton and the neutron, but they also talk about what's between them, that empty something that's between those electrons and neutrons that we don't understand, and that electrons and neutrons sometimes disappear and they can't explain where do they go. So I think that's about a whole electromagnetic something field that's in and around everything that we as psychic surf.
Mm-hmm. So this is the way it is with the tyranny. Wherever we travel, it's so fun. We get to talk woo-woo wherever we go. I want to tell you why I'm outside pulling weeds talking to you right now. My girlfriend Trish does not have a computer, but she loves your show, and she wasn't feeling good enough to come over today and listen to it. We're making it a tradition. And so what I did was I dialed BBS on my computer. Then she phoned me, and she's listening to the phone inside my house over at her house across town.
Now, Dawn, that's a dedicated listener. Don't go to that that much trouble. Thanks, Trish, and thank you so much, Trish, also for the lavender. I loved it. So I'm telling you, that's
know,
a dedicated listener, darling. But, you know, we do have magic wherever we go, but partly because, Mary Ellen, we ask for it, too. I think people forget to ask. Mary Ellen and I really have an incredible belief system and policy that every day we expect two miracles. I used to expect it before noon, but I'm lenient about a time period. But it's
Can I tell them about my latest miracle?
I didn't. Go ahead and tell them.
Well, what my listeners don't even, I mean, my readers and my newsletter don't even know this yet, but I wanted to enter this photo contest with a pet photo, and I wasn't sure which one to choose, so I have a friend that does baseball cards and football cards and Kentucky. It takes photos of the horses for the Kentucky Derby, but I he didn't even come to mind. I thought of somebody I met. Yeah, Kirk.
Or Hero.
and, you know, he would help me out, but what came to mind was I saw a wedding picture in Sedona, and I remembered my friend Dick Canby in Sedona. I met him there like 7 years ago. I thought, well, I'm going to just call him up and ask him his opinion because he's a professional photographer. I called him up, and I said, I can't get your website up on the Internet. He says, yeah, I was just on there yesterday putting it up. I says, no, honest to goodness, I can't get it up. And he says, I have to go. And his website had been off 12 hours. It had been off 24. For some reason, his server had pulled his website off. And because I called out of the blue the only time in 7 years to ask him this question, they still had all of his information, and they could just pop it right back on, and he didn't have to go through hours and hours of labor.
Thank
it was
supposed
to be a miracle for other people, not just always yourself.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's not about us. I mean, we're so egocentric, don't you think? You know, we always think it's about us. But that really for him was a miracle because it saved him, you know, days probably of work at the computer.
And
to rescue it. And you look at that and you go, how could that happen? 7 years you haven't called a man.
Right.
Why then? Why that moment?
That's what he's asking too.
Yeah. I don't care if you're as long as you help us. You know?
He wrote me and he said, you are my angel after all. And I go, gosh, I love how that happens. I wonder how that happens. And then it makes you a little greedy. You're kind of like, ooh, I'm waiting for another one of those to happen.
Well, it's interesting, too, because I was talking earlier about institutions that are interesting that, you know, people can study at and stuff. And one I didn't mention is Arthur Findlay College.
Oh,
Arthur Findlay wrote some incredible books. Boy, listeners, if you want to really read some deep stuff, and good stuff. Arthur Findlay is from England, and he wrote some wonderful, wonderful books. And there is a college called Arthur Findlay. He started it in England. And I have been weighing to marry Ellen probably for 3 years. I want to go study there.
It's your dream.
It is my dream. It is my absolute dream. And people say, well, why, you know, Tara, you know, you're doing your thing. You're doing what you should do. But I said, you know, you don't understand. Everybody has somebody they look up to. Everybody has something that they aspire to experience. And for me, it's Arthur Findlay College. And it's not easy to get into this, you know. I was fortunate enough a year ago, to meet John Holland, who I'm going to have on the air soon. And he had gone there, and then we got to talk for a few minutes about it. And I said, oh, now I really want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go on the Internet and find out about it, too. It's accessible on the Internet.
Do you remember how to spell it? I know you're not the world's best speller.
I am not. It's Findlay College, Findlay.
I thought it was L-D-Y. Well, they can check out both, can't they?
Yeah. It's actually arthurfindlaycollege.org.
Oh, okay.
Website. So
I've been weighing
about this and wanting to go, and I have not been able to connect with anyone who's teaching there. Or, I mean, I've gone through the administration thing trying to make it happen because it's expensive. I live in Seattle, Washington, and so it's really literally halfway across the world to me, and I want to go there, and I'd like to study, and they only take you certain times of the year, and it's quite a process. Plus, the American dollar, unfortunately, is not very good. But Mary Ellen is this amazing person. I swear, I don't know how she makes magic happen sometimes. And she gets an email from someone who wants one of her stories for a book. And lo and behold, guess where
she's
they
an English miracle author.
She's what?
She's an English miracle author. She just found me on the Internet. I don't know her at all.
I know, but I think it's a wonderful miracle. She happens to be an angel. Doesn't she write about angels?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she writes about angels. And she's an author, and she lives in England, and she teaches at Arthur Findlay College. I go, thank you, Spirit. I can't wait to connect with her.
And she's teaching there, so to be able to give us more information.
So I'm so excited because, I mean, you know, it is probably a breadcrumb in the chain of coincidences and synchronicities.
Well, it offers hope.
Closer to
miracles offer hope.
A dream, yeah. So it's exciting, you know. We never know what those miracles are going to be. But Mary Ellen says, I have you. Oh, we only have 5 minutes? That can't be. Which story do we tell? I want to talk about numbers for a minute because I think actually we need to do a whole show on numbers, and perhaps maybe next
good
week
idea.
We can do that. One of the things we have on our websites is about numbers, in particularly 444s, 1111s,
3111,
synchronicity numbers. And we found this phenomena very, very strong in the beginning when the messengers came out. And in fact, we were both shocked when we saw in the messengers that there was the 444s because it was part of our magic in our lives. And so it is amazing. We see them on, like, just a minute ago when Mary Ellen actually came on the phone, I looked up and the clock said 444. So I go, okay, you guys are funny. He's very
magic.
Funny. So, but Mary Ellen also has a lot of experience with 111s, and we have this on our website because so many people were interested, and we find and people email us all the time, and say, I had this dream. Every time I look at the clock, it's 4:44, or it's 11:11, or, you know, certain numbers, and they will find our website because they'll type it in because it's driving them nuts. They can't figure out what's going on.
I got three today, one from Japan, one from England, and one from the States, people feeling haunted. They wanted to know if it was a bad sign. And one lady said she was just going to settle, but her girlfriend, Joe, wanted to know if it was a good sign or bad sign. But when they found my website, they started to think it was a good sign because her mother's name was Ellen Mary. And I went, oh, my gosh, because it was Joe that wrote. And I said, well, my sister's name is Joe.
See what I mean? The synchronicities never stop. If we would just listen and see. That's, like, amazing, Mary Ellen. That's so cool. Next week, I think Mary Ellen and I will talk to you about numbers. And different ways that numbers come into us and the synchronicities that are attached to that. And I believe that, you know, if we follow our synchronicities, they pretty soon lead to synchrodestiny. A few years ago, Deepak Chopra coined that term, synchrodestiny, with a fabulous story you wouldn't even believe. Mm-hmm. And so talking about how numbers affect us and how we see them, the synchronicities and some of the stories that happened because we saw these numbers and who it led us to is sort of a wonderful part of the magic. But it's true, if you will just ask and be open to being a vehicle of God, Goddess, all that is, insert your favorite deity, every day and ask for miracles, they come. And miracles are, you know, they're not just the big ones where, you know, the car's hanging on the cliff and you get rescued.
So they can be a 111 or a 444 just to confirm to you that you're on the right path, that you're doing the right thing, you're making the right decision.
Absolutely.
That you're guided and watched over.
Miracles. You know, a miracle is having someone in your life in the right time. It's not always big rescues. You saved that guy's website. That was a miracle for him. you know, just amazing. You finding a silver Persian for me.
That was amazing.
Society.
He was in a blast.
That was a miracle for me.
Yeah. And I even dreamt of it earlier in the week, too. You were going to get one, and you're the psychic person, not me.
I know, you know. Everybody thinks because you're psychic, though, that you're on 24/7. It's not true. You can have off days. You can have human days. You can have put your fingers in your ear going, yin, 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 just like you did your parents' days. La, 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 you know, I don't want to hear it. I want to drive. I want it my way, you know. I tell my students in my class to be really aware of that, you know. I know. Are we off the air? Okay. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Don. He is my control room angel. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Thank you for listening today. And just know that I hope that you find my show interesting and that it helps you evolve and move along your spiritual path. And until we see each other again, remember to stay wrapped in the wings of the angels. Keep your heart light burning to light your way and the way for others. Lots of angel blessings. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blog and service.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.